the Lord laid on my heart is, in different seasons, when the seasons come in the natural, nature adjusts to the season. And there's new seasons that are coming to the body of Christ, and God wants us to adjust. And this whole thing of adjustment and flowing in the anointing of God, gave me instructions to teach and preach on it. And you know what? I would just rather teach and preach on something else, but I'm just acting out of obedience, okay? How many know that we need to be obedient? Amen? I know that God wants to accomplish something in every heart and every life of everyone in the room. Amen? So if you have a Bible, open it to 1 Corinthians 14. If you don't, slip up your hand and we'll get you one. If you need a Bible, slip up your hand. Don't be ashamed. Need a Bible over here. Can somebody help them out? Anybody else need a Bible? Got one right here. Anybody else? All right. Hey, how about I give you one?
Thanks, PK.
You're welcome, Dusty. Hey, amen. You know, I started a series, and if you missed the first couple of messages, I encourage you to go to www.greatestfreedom.org and go on our website, and on the menu, click on the menu, and when the menu scrolls down, click on sermons, and you can listen to any of the sermons on the website. They're posted there every week, thanks to the grace and mercy and love of my dear wife, and she's been doing really wonderful at that. I'm grateful for her putting those things on the website. But we began with it, the first message was Pentecost Junction. A junction is where two things meet, or two places things are joined together. And what the Lord was speaking to my heart about is that many were on a crossroads in their life. They believe this, but they won't take it to the next level. And he gave me instructions, and I spoke out of 1 John 2:27. Which says, but the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it taught you, you shall abide in him. And we talked about the being at a junction of what we believe, the expectation, Pentecost Junction, a place where we're a crossroads, where we're meeting. And we talked about coming first to understanding that the Spirit of God dwells in us. He indwells. He's in there to instruct us. He said to teach us all things. And he's in us to instill the truth. He said that you need not that any man teach you, because you already knew. So the Spirit of truth is in you. So the Spirit of truth will only reveal to you the truth. There's many errors in the world, but the Spirit of truth doesn't speak any lie. He says, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. He is the way that we live, the truth about him. There's no error in the word. Then last week we talked about a Pentecost experience. You know, we used the scripture reference, Romans 5:5. It says, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And we talked about the spirit of love. We talked about the agape love of God. God's love is unconditional. Man puts conditions on love. If you do this, I'll love you. If you act like this, I'll love you. But God's love is unconditional. God loves us just because he loves us, because he's love. And we talked about the spirit of love that is for us. We sang that song, if God be for you, who can be against you? The spirit of love is for you, the spirit of love is with you, and the spirit of love is in you. And what we talked about last week, which was so important for us to get a revelation and an understanding on, is when I can't love like God, I've got to be a conduit so his love can do it. I can't do it as a conduit. In other words, if I allow myself to be a vessel of God and allow God's love to flow through me and God's love to flow through you, our love will come without conditions. Amen? Are you with me so far? I haven't bored you to tears yet, have I? You know, it's my job to keep you awake. Hallelujah. So today, when I was looking at this, you know, when you were, have you ever burned trash? I mean, everybody's burned something, right? Or, you know, there's a time when there's controlled burns. A controlled burn is like a farmer that might burn some weeds in a fence line or something. It's a controlled burn. But sometimes winds come in and carry away that fire, and it becomes a wildfire. You know, most wildfires were never intended to be a wildfire. They started as a controlled fire that got out of hand, and it became a wildfire. And God wants to pour out his fire upon his house of God and upon his children, the fire of the Holy Ghost. But he wants to pour it out as a controlled fire, not a wildfire. You know, a wildfire just goes away and starts destroying things that were, and that's what happened to the body of Christ. Many things got ruined and destroyed because they let the wildfire go. God says, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace and all the churches of the saints, according to 1 Corinthians 14:33. In other words, God will never do anything out of order. God does things decently and in order. So as he's speaking, he doesn't want anybody to be confused. Amen? So when these wild things were taking place in the church of Corinth, all of a sudden there was a lot of confusion that was coming in, and that wasn't God. And that's what's happened to the body, charismatic body of Christ in many places. Is it became a wildfire, and it got out of hand, and then it was just a bunch of flesh operating instead of the Spirit of God. Amen? How many know that we can get wild in the flesh as well as we can get wild in the Spirit? You know, I was a wild man that the Lord's been taming. Amen? But I still have a wild nature. I guess that's just me, right? Anybody else like that? Amen. You know, God always keeps on reminding me, son, don't forget where I found you. Amen. So when I look at people, when I minister to people, I don't see them where they're at. I see where God's taking them to. Amen. So as we're speaking this word today, I think this is so important for you here, because when this move comes, oh, there's a wind coming. There's a move of God that's coming. There's a mighty move of God that's coming. And what God wants to do is get us aligned and prepared so that we can flow in what's coming. So it doesn't get all out of whack, and then we give a bad name to what God means for good. You know, God's love. Amen? God's a good God. I serve a good, good, good God. You know, God didn't come in the room to tell anybody what's wrong with you. God came in the room today to tell you how good he is. We serve a good God. Can you just give him a shout of praise and say, God, you're good. I'd love to give God praise. Amen. You know why? You know why we're doing this? You understand the spiritual? Huh? There's some resistance. All we're trying to do is set up the atmosphere so the word will be received. Amen. So the word will be received. Amen. Because the adversary doesn't want you to hear what God has to say to you today. But God has a word for you, for every last one in the room. I believe in my heart that nobody's going to leave the room today the same way they came in. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not going to leave the room the same way I came in. Hallelujah. I haven't arrived yet. Either of you. Praise God. All right, well, let's get to our text then. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, are you with me? And the church of Corinth, Paul in chapter 12, 13, and 14 is talking about the gifts of the Spirit that were in operation in the body of Christ. The problem with this church, it was out of order. Okay? So he's trying to bring some instruction and some edification to it. So in 1 Corinthians 14, verse number 12, he says, even so ye, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church, building up others. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else, when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen? at the giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest. For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than ye all. Yet in the church, I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Today I want to focus your attention to verse number 18. Paul says, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than ye all. Today I want to talk to you this morning about, the title of this morning's message is Pentecost Expression. Expression. I want to speak to you about the initial evidence. What is this for? What is speaking in tongues for? What is praying in tongues for? It's for edification, it's for elimination, and it's for elevation. Amen? So can we lift our word today and make a declaration in the house today? Are you with me? Say, I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote this to me. I am what the word says I am. I can have everything God says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word and my life will be changed. It'll never be the same. Lord, speak to me, for I'm listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we're so grateful for your word. We're so grateful, Lord, that you sent it here to accomplish what you sent it to the house to do. So, Father, I pray even now, Father God, that Carl gets out of the way, Father God. Spirit of the living God, speak through me. Speak with clarity and speak with understanding, Father God. May every hearer in the room be built up, Father God. May they be encouraged. May they be comforted by the preaching and teaching of your word. And when all is said and done, you'll receive the glory and honor and the praise. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Are we ready? Amen. Praise God. So I want to start. Now let's start at the initial evidence. And let's go to Acts chapter 2. And, you know, and we'll start there the day of Pentecost. Pentecost, by the way, is the 50th day. In Exodus, we find that the angel of death passed over the children of Israel and they marked the post. And it was 50 days later that the law was given at Mount Sinai to Moses. And we find that that's the day of Pentecost. They celebrated it every year, 50 days after the Passover. Jesus was our Passover at the cross of Calvary. Now 50 days from Calvary, it's the day of Pentecost, and we're in Acts chapter 2, verse number 1. And it said, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The day of Pentecost was the only time where he showed the gathering together where they spoke in tongues without an interpreter. There was something that supernaturally took place in the pouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. I believe it was a reversal of the Tower of Babel. I believe in Genesis 11:9, the Bible says that God confounded their language, and we find so many times in our English language when somebody speaks something or noise you don't understand, we say that they're what? Babbling. Babbling. In other words, so many times when we've heard people speak in tongues, when things have been done out of order, we think that they're babbling because we don't have any understanding and we're confused because it wasn't done decently and in order. I want to speak to somebody. Somebody told me one time when I was a young boy, I heard this. He said, well, you make fun of somebody speaking in tongues, you're blaspheming the Holy Ghost, and that's the unpardonable sin. Well, that isn't blaspheming the Holy Ghost. Blaspheming the Holy Ghost is rejecting Christ. That's the only unpardonable sin. If you don't accept Christ, you're going to hell. Amen? You know, there's no, he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. And no one's going to come to the Father but by the Son. But God doesn't bring confusion. Even in the day of Pentecost, look at verse 7. The Bible says, and they were all amazed and marveled one to another, being told, are not all these which speak Galileans, and how we hear every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers of Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and the parts of Libya, round about Cyrene, strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. There was something that's supernatural. There was something that took place. There was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That Pentecost, that 50th day, that was the day of Jubilee for the church. Amen. That was a day of freedom. That was a day of liberty. Because you know what? If it wasn't for that day, there's not one of us that would be sitting here in the house today. No one would be here if it wasn't for the day of Pentecost. Amen. Amen. And I thank God. I thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. I thank God for the Holy Ghost. But it's important that the Holy Ghost isn't an author of confusion. Amen. When God comes in the room, peace comes in the room. How many know when there's storms and tribulations and trials of life, you don't come to the house of God to come into storm and dismay. You come in the house of God to find peace, joy, kindness, goodness, meekness, temperance. Fruit of the Spirit is evident in the house of God. Amen. Amen. You don't want to come into the room to come into a place of confusion. Amen. So let's look a little bit. Go with me to Acts chapter 10. Turn back a couple pages to Acts chapter 10. This is important for you and I. Cornelius. I was going to make a joke about the Italian band, but I'll let it go. Acts chapter 10, verse 44. The Bible says, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Amen. You know what the Gentile means? Who is a Gentile? Amen. That's you and I. Amen. So we find that. Hey, let me say something to you. This isn't the most popular preaching and teaching, but it's coming. Amen. Amen. If we want to walk in the fullness of God and we want to have the operation of the Spirit of God with signs and wonders and miracles and people being healed and set free and people being raised from the dead, we got to be walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. So God is trying to teach us how to walk in the Spirit and how to flow in the Spirit of God. Amen. You know, if you go down to verse number 11, chapter 11, verse number 15, he says that as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as was on us all as in the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord Jesus, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And if you look at the word baptized, you know what the word baptized means? It comes from the Greek word baptizo. It means totally immersed. Amen. In other words, when I went into the water in the baptismal tank, I went down and the waters covered me. And all of, in other words, what God is saying in baptism of the Holy Spirit, he wants us to be immersed in the Spirit of God. Amen. He wants us to be the Spirit to be overwhelming in our lives. Amen. You know, sometimes people don't realize why they give in to the adversary so much and why he has so much room, because God gave us a weapon that we don't use. He gave us a weapon in our arsenal that we don't use. You see, and what he was saying to me, you see, the tongues, Paul says, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than they all. In other words, what Paul was saying is he isn't out in public speaking in tongues, but he's in the private place speaking with the Lord. And in other words, what Paul was saying with this gift, what the gift does first is what? It's for edification. Why do I pray in tongues? I don't know. When I go through times and storm, there isn't always someone around to help me. When I get in the morning and I just don't feel like it, hello, I don't feel like it. When I start praying in the Spirit of God, I get encouraged. I get built up. I'm telling you, and it's not the Holy Spirit speaking to God, He's God. It's God using me to speak to God. Amen. In other words, there's something that gets in you. It's for our edification. God wants to build us up. He gave us something to build ourselves up. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 again. You know, we talked about the Spirit of love is for us, with us, in us. And in chapter 14, verse number 1, the Apostle Paul says, finally follow after love and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. Then in verse 4, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. Who are you building up? Who needs to be built up? You know something? Before I can build someone else up, I need to be built up. I can't give somebody what I don't have. If I come and try to tell you and talk to you and encourage you and I'm not built up myself, what do you look? What will you say? You say, well, you're telling me to do something that you're not doing? In other words, if I can't build myself up, I can't really truly build someone else up. If the joy of the Lord is our strength. And our strength comes from, how many know that we need our strength renewed day by day? Amen. If the apostle said, the kingdom of God is not in meat or drink, but it's in righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. I got to build myself up with some Holy Ghost joy.
Amen.
Amen. And when I'm praying in the Spirit to the Lord, I'm not praying for someone to hear me. I don't want anybody to hear me say, oh, so they can think that I'm spiritual. Hello? And that's what's happened. That's why it's got such a bad name. Everybody's going to make some noise and make people think that they're more spiritual than they are. Man, it's not us, it's Him. We serve Him. When I'm doing this, I'm speaking in my closet. I go in my office. If the walls could talk. Amen. In other words, this is something between me and my Lord. I don't have all the answers. I'm seeking God. But I know one thing. I start praying the Holy Ghost, I get encouraged. Amen. I know when there's something that's coming my way that's bugging me, and I start praying in the Spirit and giving God and the Holy Ghost, all of a sudden my spirit is lifted up. All of a sudden, now I can run. Then I can walk and not faint. Then I can soar over those things. Amen. Because a natural man cannot do it. It takes the Spirit. So what God wants you to understand is many have been taught wrong. There's been much confusion in the house of God. In other words, you know, many think, you know, the people are just babbling. Well, to many, if they're speaking in tongues and there's not an interpretation, they're just babbling. God wants to bring edification and build up the body of Christ. When we gather together, in the body of Christ, if you have a tongue, you should have an interpretation. If you don't have an interpretation, you should prophesy. Amen? We don't need to speak in tongues just to find an interpreter. He says, greater is he that prophesieth. Amen? Well, what is prophesying? Well, you know what? It's speaking edification or building up your brother and sister in Christ Jesus. Speaking encouraging word. Speaking the word of God. Speaking the counsels of God. Speaking the goodness of God. Amen? That's the prophecy of God. That's speaking the goodness of God over their life. You know, speaking the words, and God, you can do all things through Christ. You're more than a conqueror. The enemy's been defeated. You have victory. You're a child of God. You're anointed. You're called. You're appointed and anointed. And the devil's going to be disappointed. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians 14:5, the Apostle Paul said, I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with unknown tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Every time we get together, you should be built up. You should be encouraged. Amen? We're not coming in this place to tear anybody down. We're in the building business. We're not in the demolition business. The devil is in the demolition business. We're in the building business. Amen? We're to build people up. We're to encourage one another. Hallelujah. Someone beside you today needs some encouragement. Somebody's going through something in their life today, and God's got a word in your heart, and all you have to do, it may be three words. It could be one word. It may change someone's life that's beside around you. Amen. Praise God. As long as it's done in decently in order and it's done in love, it can't hurt anything. Amen. Don't look at everybody and try to tell them what's wrong with them. Amen. Don't look down your spiritual nose. That's what happens. That's what happens when people do that. It reminds me of that commercial where the guy's a motivational speaker and he's talking and he's Pinocchio. All right? All of a sudden that thing starts coming out. Don't look down your nose at people. Amen? I'll tell you what. When this move of God comes, there's going to be all kinds coming in here. There's going to be people that have been caught in the depths of darkness. There are going to be people that have been serving Satan, that have been worshiping Satan. God's going to turn their lives around. There's going to be all kinds, you know. We've got to be ready to be walking in the Spirit. Hey, this is a hospital. This is a place for the sick. Amen? For by grace, I was saved by faith. Amen? God's grace shined on me. Amen? Praise God. Verse number 6, he says, Now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall it profit you except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? In other words, we're not confusing anybody. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God or woman of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Amen? So this is for our benefit. I think we have a child. Praise God. Hallelujah. Never mind. Don't worry about it. They'll handle it. Everything's good. Wow. Can somebody say amen? Hallelujah. God always reminds me about something. He just reminded me. The Holy Spirit's really cool. Holy Spirit just reminded me. He said, don't look at anybody's faces. Don't look at faces. Because sometimes we look at faces and we look at eyes and we look at things and we think that something is bothering somebody, but they might not even be thinking about what you're speaking about. They might be thinking about having to go to work after church. Amen? Amen? Can we be open-minded? Can we be open-minded? What do you think God put this in His Word for? Do you think that God just didn't have anything else to say? So, well, I need to fill up 66 books, so I'll just throw this in there. I have some space to fill, son. What are we going to do? If this is basic instructions before leaving Earth, God wrote it and it has a purpose. So what God is saying is, hey, why does Paul say he prays in tongues? For edification, for building himself up. Secondly, it's for elimination. Well, what do you mean elimination? What you eliminate is self-willed prayer. Go to Romans 8:26 with me, please. The Bible says in Romans 8:26, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities or our weaknesses. What's our weakness? For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. For we know not what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. In other words, these are deep welled emotions. In other words, the Spirit of God speaks to you from the inside. If the Spirit of God is dwelling in you and your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, amen, the Holy Spirit isn't praying to God for you. It's giving you guidance, and he's your aid. He's your advocate. He's your helper. He's the comforter, the paraclete. You know, he aids and assists you and I. In other words, Jesus said, if you want to pray, pray this. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth or as it is in heaven. In other words, his will, not our will. So what I'm allowing the Spirit to do is to guide and direct me and eliminate self-willed prayer. In other words, what I'm doing is I'm seeking the heart of God when I pray. I'm praying according to his will. Well, you say, what's his will? The total counsel of God. He doesn't go outside of his word. If all the promises in him are yes and amen, I align my prayers according to his word of God. I remind God of his promises. Because it says all the promises of him in him are yes and amen. So as I'm praying, I'm eliminating self-willed prayer. In other words, I'm learning it, and I'm learning this. When someone asks me, said, Pastor, will you pray? I used to just say, okay, blah, blah, blah. But now I want to wait a minute. I want to take a moment. I want to seek God for what God wants to say and what God wants will in prayer is. God's will is for everyone to be saved. God, I believe God's will is for everyone to be healed. Amen? I believe he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So in other words, I'm trying to get myself lined up with his will, not my will. And it you know what it eliminates? It eliminates me praying and saying things to people that aren't truth. There's a difference between no and hope, right? So in other words, when we're allowing the Spirit to make intercession for us, the Holy Spirit doesn't need to talk to God. He doesn't need to talk. He is God. He is God. He doesn't need to talk to God for you and I. He's making intercession between me and you. That intercession's for us. So that we can know the will of God. He already knows it. So that we can come in alignment with God's word and eliminate self-willed prayer. That's why he says in verse 27, he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Amen? What does it do? It gets us aligned with his will. So it eliminates self-willed prayer. Amen? So in other words, why do I pray in the Spirit? I pray for my edification. I pray for elimination. Look at 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 2, verse number 13. The Apostle Paul said, for this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you've heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in the truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. In other words, when we eliminate self-will praying, all of a sudden our prayers have an effect. What did James say in James 5? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Amen? In other words, that prayer is according to the word of God, according to the will of God. We're praying God's word over the situation. You know, I had an individual that contacted me the other day, and this individual has brain cancer and has some tumors in their cancer in their bones. And I'm praying, what do I send? I send the word of God. That the word of God declares that every name named in heaven and earth must bow to the name of Jesus. Every name named in heaven and earth must bow to the name of Jesus. Cancer has a name and it must bow. In other words, when I pray over that, I'm praying as a man under authority. I pray as a man that's called of God, and you're a man and a woman called of God. And when you pray according to God's word, and you take authority. You're men and women under authority. God said, all power has been given to me in heaven and earth. Now go you therefore. There was a transfer of authority. There's a transfer of the power. You walk in the anointing and the power of God. Don't be so timid. Now, if you saw somebody that was coming in to mess with your children, how would you react to them? Would you please leave my kids alone? You saw somebody hurting your children, and you see it right with your eyes. You look at it, and you see them hurting your children. What would you do? What would your response be? The devil's messing with your children. The devil's messing with your life. The devil's messing with everything around you. God wants you to recognize who you are in him. God says he gave you authority. He gave you authority. In other words, you got to start taking back some things. We said we went to the enemy's camp and took back. And we go to the enemy's camp and say, please give us back our family. You know, I don't think that you're going to go into an enemy's camp and take anything back. And I'm not saying that we're to be loving and kind to one another, but the devil, I don't have to be that kind to. Jesus was never behind that kind to him. He said, get under my feet. Get behind me, Satan. You have no place in front of me. Amen. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. This is a war. You're in a war. Your soul's in balance. This is a battle. Amen. Somebody reminded me the other day that they called me, who said it? Somebody said that they just reminded me of something the other week where it says, where the Lord said that winners never quit and quitters never win. You're winners, man.
Amen.
Amen. Get the winning attitude. Don't let the devil defeat you so much. He's a booger. I call him the booger. Problem with boogers, you flick them, they stick on something. Make sure you where you flick the booger. Flick them, don't flick them towards other people. That's disgusting. He won't forget it, no. It'll have an impression. Hope it doesn't give you nightmares. All of a sudden you see this big booger. God gave us, you know, again, I'm back to what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the gift of the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about speaking in the Spirit. I'm praying in the Spirit of God. I'm talking about, what is it for? It's to build you up. It's for edification. It's to eliminate self-willed prayer, and it's to elevate. Amen? It's for elevation. You know what it elevates? Your faith. Hallelujah. I'm seeking and I'm searching, man. I know when I go into situations and things seem overwhelming and overbearing, and all of a sudden I get alone with the Lord and start praying in the Spirit of God, and start, all of a sudden, I'm not seeing it like I did before. All of a sudden, that mountain becomes a molehill. Because all of a sudden, God reveals to me that how much bigger He is than any circumstance or situation that we're facing. That God is greater. We just sang that song. Do you get it in your heart and your life? Our God, He's strong. He's mighty for battle. All right? You know, we're not going to fight this battle. He's going to fight it. We're not fighting in flesh and blood. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. You know, we're fighting in the Spirit. Amen? So we're going to put on the whole armor of God too. But turn with me in Jude verse number 20. We're elevating our faith. Where Jude writes, he says, "But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." Amen? In other words, it's a faith builder. Amen? Because you know what? When I pray in the natural, in private, I don't know if I'm always praying the will of God, but when I pray in the Spirit, I know I'm praying God's will. And all of a sudden, I come aligned with God. And then all of a sudden, I start hearing His voice clearer. Amen? All of a sudden, that voice that says, "I can't do this," gets drowned out by the voice of God. In other words, my Holy Ghost faith is built up. If faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, our faith is being increased in the house today. But, you know, even when Paul gave us instructions when we pray. Go to Ephesians chapter 6, and I'll shut this down. Verse number 10. Ephesians 6, verse 10. He says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of the salvation and the sword of Spirit, which is the word of God." And verse 18, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit." In the Spirit. In the Spirit, "and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." So what is God saying to you and I? Simply today, Paul said, "I thank my God that I pray in tongues more than you all." What is it for? In closing, it's for our edification. It's to build us up. It's for our elimination, to eliminate self-willed prayer. And it's for elevation, to elevate our faith. And the Bible says, if faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God, here's what God wants to say to you and I today. He just reminds us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That you've sinned, I've sinned, we've all sinned. The problem with our sin is the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God's love, He loves you, He loves me, He loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. What Jesus did for you and I is he died on the cross, he arose from the grave, he paid the penalties for our sins and purchased a place in heaven. The Bible says, we like sheep have all gone astray, to each our own way. The Lord has laid the iniquity of us all upon him. This gift is received by faith. What faith is putting our trust in Jesus Christ alone for our salvation. The Bible says he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. And no one comes to the Father and by the Son. Today I talk to you, in closing today, I talk to you about the gift of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Word of God says, Jesus said this in Luke 11:13. He said, if ye then being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. For everyone that asks, receives. For everyone that seeks, finds. And for everyone that knocks, he'll surely open the door. Will you accept the gift that God's offering to you, the gift of salvation and the gift of the Holy Spirit? The choice is between you and him. Bow your heads and let us pray. Father, we're so grateful, Father God, for your word. We're so grateful that you sent your word here to accomplish what you sent it to the house to do. In the closing moments of the service today, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, or one time you knew Jesus, you drifted away, you're not in the place you once were, and you feel him tugging on your heart today to return to him, if that is you, would you just lift up your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I see that hand, you may put it down. I see that hand, you may put it down. I see that hand, you may put it down. Is there anyone else here today? Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going to ask you to take a bold step, and I ask you to come and join me up here. You raise your hand. Please come. You're doing this for him, not for them. Hallelujah. You raise your hand, please come. Don't be shy. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, they're going to publicly confess Jesus before you today. So I want all the house to bow your heads and pray. So we're going to make this public commitment. And if you just pray after me, say, Dear Jesus, come back into my heart as my Lord and my Savior. Father, I give you the wheel of my life. Take control. I need you. I need your help. I need the Holy Spirit. Fill me, Lord, to overflowing. May my life live for you. Devil, get behind me now. Okay. Devil, get behind me. I'm a child of God. His love has lifted me this day. In Jesus' name. Amen.